All right, I'm going to bring you a series of messages starting this morning called Jonah's Summer Vacation. Mine was a lot more pleasant than Jonah's. This is a great little book. It has a lot to say to us. Jesus quoted from Jonah. And so it's a good thing for us to study. I've preached a message or two from Jonah along the way, but we're going to really take some time and dig in and see what we can learn from Jonah. There are parts of this book that we tend to emphasize more than other parts, and I'm going to take 6 or 7 weeks, most of the rest of the summer, and spend it in Jonah. So you can read Jonah in about 20 minutes, maybe less than that if you're a good fast reader. So it's not a whole lot of scripture, but there's an awful lot packed in there, and I don't want us to miss any of it. I think we can learn some important lessons by studying Jonah. This morning's message is called Call and Response. Call and Response, and I'm going to read the text from Jonah chapter 1, just the first 3 verses. This is what the Word of God said. The Word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. May God add His blessing to this reading of His Word. The first thing that I want to point out to you this morning is that Jonah heard. Jonah heard. Verses 1 and 2, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That was communication from God to Jonah. And Jonah got the message. Jonah got it. Jonah heard it. There's no way that Jonah can ever go back and say, well, I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do. He knew exactly what the Lord had said to him. All right? And that just kind of raised a question in my mind. This is something that people ask me once in a while, because you see things like that in the Scripture. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And sometimes people say, well, how does that happen? How does that work? How can you hear from God? Well, that's a good question. And it's a question that probably needs to be answered, not one-on-one, but we can just answer it all together. How do people hear from God? How can you hear from God? Well, let me answer the question. The first way that you can know what God's Word is through the Scripture. It's written down for us. Much of it is there for us to just pick up and read. And of course, if we're doers of the Word and not just hearers and not just readers, then it begins to have an impact on our life. So the first way that to hear from God is to read His Word. And of course, you've probably heard that before. Somebody's probably mentioned to you that it's a good thing to read God's Word on a regular basis, like daily is good. Okay, so make a habit of doing that, because God will speak to you from His Word. All right. The second way is through preaching and teaching. Sometimes it's good to hear someone else read the Word of God and talk about it and explain it. And so that's another way that you can hear from God. Sometimes that kind of fleshes out the meaning of the Word, shows you, you know, the depth of its meaning and how it applies to your life through preaching and teaching. Those are pretty obvious, right? If I'd have said, write down the ways you can hear from God, you'd have written those down. The next thing that I have down in my notes is the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. Now, that may be a little fuzzier to some of you, but those are spiritual gifts. And they're spiritual gifts that operate in an interesting way. A word of knowledge from God is a message that brings you to an understanding of God and His ways. It has to do with understanding. There's something I've just been wondering about, and I need to know the answer to this question that I have in my mind. Well, when you get that answer, that's a word of knowledge. A word of wisdom has to do with action. How should I do this? How do I go about this? What should I do next? You need God's direction as to action that you're going to take. And when you get that direction, That's a word of wisdom. Now, the interesting thing about that is that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are listed as spiritual gifts. Here's the way that that works. And it's worked this way in my life many, many, many times. I'll have a question. I'm thinking about something. Maybe something came up in the Word and I just really don't understand it. And I pray, you know, Lord, just help me to understand this. I really need to know about this. And just in conversation with some brother or sister, they'll say the very thing that I had asked for. I'll hear from God through one of my brothers or sisters. All right, has that ever happened to you? And you know what? The person that delivers it, 9 times out of 10, doesn't know that they were even being used in that way. That's what happens when we walk in the Spirit. God will use us to minister to one another in ways that we don't even know about. That's God working. That's one of those things in the Scripture that says this is a manifestation of the Spirit. This is how you can see the Spirit at work in the church, is when that sort of thing begins to happen. So you might be used to deliver God's truth to somebody in your family, to somebody that you work with, to somebody in the church. All right? That's a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, and those are important ways that God communicates to us. We always tell young pastoral candidates that this is one of the ways that you know your calling is sure. You know, some people say, well, how do I know if God's calling me? Well, if God's calling you, you're going to hear that message over and over and over again from the people around you that are godly people. Because God's going to speak it to you over and over again, and you will know. That's external evidence of the call of God. You're going to hear it from other believers. All right? So, word of knowledge, word of wisdom is a way you can hear from God. You need to be listening all the time for God to speak. All right? And then there's this, what I call spiritual urging. Spiritual urging. Sometimes you just know. People say, well, how do you know that? Well, I just know. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak in words, but you know what the Lord wants you to do. Sometimes he does it by closing all the doors but one. And then he says, go. Well, and you know where to go because there's only one place. But the Lord will kind of prod you and urge you to do certain things. And, you know, it's not because you just saw it in the Word that day. It's not, you know. Sometimes the Lord will say, you know, you need to go visit so-and-so. Well, you didn't hear the Lord say that. You just know that that's what you ought to do. And when you do it, there's always blessing involved. And when you don't do it, you always kind of feel like you missed something. That's the urging of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to listen to those things and follow through when the Lord urges us. That's kind of a subjective sort of thing. It's hard to explain to somebody else when they say, well, why do you think you need to do that? I just know I do. Because it's something you know, but they don't know it. Okay, so that's another thing. And then there's the audible. Now, when I read this to you, how do you think Jonah got this message? I don't know. When I read it, I think God spoke to Jonah. I think it was an audible. Now, that's kind of a rare thing. For God to just speak so that you can hear God. But the Scripture talks about God doing just that, doesn't it? Not all the time. These are kind of in the order in which they normally occur, I guess. And an audible certainly would be at the bottom of the list. God has never spoken to me in that way. I'd be happy if he did. But he never has. I've had a lot of those spiritual urging things and a lot of these other things. But these are the ways that you can hear from God. And you need to expect to hear from God because God desires to communicate with his people. And then we need to be open to hearing the Word of God. So point number one in this message from this part of the story of Jonah is that Jonah heard. Jonah heard. Whether it was some of these or all of these or however it happened, Jonah knew where he was supposed to go and what he was supposed to do. All in agreement? I mean, that's the way it starts out. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. He got the message. Now, the very next word, it's the first word in verse 3, is but. So, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, but what did Jonah do? He said, wait a minute, I don't like what I just heard. Now, there are some good reasons for Jonah not to like what he just heard. You know, if he would have said, I want you to go to Disney World and proclaim my word. Well, he might have gone, well, okay, maybe I could ride a few rides while I'm there. But he told him to go to Nineveh. Okay? Y'all know where Nineveh is? Well, we know something about it because it says it's a wicked place. All right? The wickedness of that city had come up before God. But Nineveh was the capital, the primary city of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were bad. They were the tough guys of the time. They were the ones that came in and overran and totally destroyed the northern kingdom. They were the ones that took the people out of the land and scattered them all over their empire, broke up their families. The Assyrians were the ones that liked to take the skulls of their enemies and build walls just so people would see how mean they were. They liked to behead people in the Assyrian Empire, and they were no friends of Israel, I'll tell you that for sure. And God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like something I want on my itinerary for my summer vacation, going to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. So that was the first thing. And that's exactly the very first word here is God says, go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city. Well, most of us just kind of recoil at that right from the beginning. Go. God wants us to go somewhere. Someplace unfamiliar, someplace uncomfortable. We'd rather stay. We don't want to go. And Jonah had the same attitude. We're going to see this later on. But he had the same attitude that a lot of other people have. Those are not my people. That is not my problem. I don't have anything to do with Nineveh. I don't have anything to do with their wickedness. I don't have anything to do with those people at all. It's not my problem. Let somebody from Nineveh handle it. Right? Don't we do that? We don't care about those folks. They're not us. We'll worry about ourselves. We'll take care of ourselves. We're not going to worry about anybody else. So that's one reason for the but. The second thing is, God said, preach. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Well, people have all kinds of attitudes about that. I mean, pastors like me, we stand up for congregations and we say, you need to be sharing the good news with people. And congregations go, yeah, right. Yeah, we're going to do that, sure. Faith is a private matter. You ever heard that? I bet that Jonah thought that. Oh, God, come on. I don't need to tell them anything. Anyway, I don't want to offend anybody. Can't tell me to go out and preach to people. I don't want to offend anybody. And then there's what I have down here is a convenient reformed excuse for disobeying God. Those of you who are into the reformed thing will know what I'm talking about. God can speak for himself. If God wants those people in Nineveh to know about him, he can just tell them himself. That's a convenient excuse, right? We don't have to worry about those people or those people. Let God take care of them. He'll take care of them if they're chosen. He'll get the message to them somehow. Jonah should have changed his name to somehow. right? Because he was the carrier of the message. And of course, there's always, well, what if somebody asked me a question? Like the God who sent you to Nineveh couldn't give you the answer when you need it? So part of the problem with Jonah was that he didn't want to go preach. And then, of course, God talked about wickedness. He said, that is a wicked city. The wickedness of that city has come up before me. I can imagine Jonah saying, well, I don't want to be judgmental. Talk about wickedness. Or maybe he said, well, I'm a Jew. I can't associate with sinners. That's a wicked place. I can't go there. Or he might have thought, well, wicked people do wicked things. They do bad things, and they might do bad things to me if I go there, which is maybe justifiable. But I want you to know what the real problem was, because we need to understand this. We need to apply this to self. Jonah's problem, first of all, was not hearing. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah heard the word of God, right? Jonah's problem was listening. Sometimes we just don't want to listen to God. The message is as clear as it possibly could be. You know, God is like our president. He says, I'm going to make this as clear as possible. He says that all the time, by the way. You start listening for it. God makes it clear, right? There's no fuzzy here. Jonah's problem was he was not listening. He wasn't listening to God. And his problem wasn't understanding. I can't imagine Jonah standing before God Almighty and saying, oh, Nineveh. Oh, I thought you said Tarshish. It wasn't understanding. It was obeying. He understood perfectly well what God wanted him to do. He just didn't want to do it. So his problem was obedience. He was lacking in obedience. And then a third problem is that he was acting on fear rather than faith. And we're going to see as we go on through this study that God understood that full well. He understood the level of Jonah's faith. And he knew that if Jonah was going to accomplish what God was calling him to accomplish, that is to go into the capital of the Assyrian Empire and proclaim the truth of the true and living God, that he was going to have some faith. He was going to have his faith increased. So God knew that. But at this point, Jonah was acting out of fear. He didn't want to go. And so, what Jonah did was he ran away. Jonah ran away. He went his own way. I mean, God had said, this is what I want you to do. Well, he went his own way. He went down to Joppa, which was on the coast. And he found a ship there in Joppa that was going to Tarshish. And so he bought a ticket and he got on the ship and away he went. That's what he did. Now, this is interesting. The way he went was the opposite of God's way. Yeah, there's a map. Over on the right, you see the Mediterranean Sea. Right? There's the Mediterranean Sea. There's Israel over there on the far eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. And you see Joppa. Joppa was right there on the coast. Now, what God said was, go to Nineveh. You see the direction it is to Nineveh? It's northeast, right? Up there to Nineveh. Not very far, actually. In real terms, it's not very far. Nineveh is in Iraq, by the way, in case you want to just look and see where it is. And the city of Nineveh still exists to some extent. Now, Tarshish is over there on the western side. Now, what Jonah did, he got on a ship that was going in the direction opposite of Nineveh as far as you could go, as far as he understood the world. Because when you got to Tarshish, if you keep going, the next stop is Boston, I think. I mean, there's nothing out there from the edge of Spain or Portugal or wherever that is right there. On. You're out in the ocean. So he didn't just pick some place that wasn't where God wanted him to go. He picked the place that was as far as it was physically possible for him to get from where God wanted him to go. He really did not want to go. He really didn't want to go. Now, this is an interesting thing, I think. What was he running from? We've talked about Assyria. We've talked about Nineveh. We've talked about, you know, the situation there between the Assyrians and Israel, and the fact that they were enemies. We've talked about the fact that the Assyrians were mean. Little Jewish boy doesn't want to go there for his summer vacation because it's not a fun place for him to be. He's liable to end up being a component in some little garden wall or something. He didn't want to go there for all kinds of reasons. He didn't like the people. You know, he didn't share God's compassion for these people in Assyria. And so he was rejecting that, but that's not what the Scripture says. I mean, it doesn't not say that. But it specifically says this. If you look at the text, if you got your Bible open to Jonah, you look at the end of verse 3. And it says this. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. To flee from the Lord. See, he wasn't just rejecting God's call. He was attempting to reject God himself. He thought, if this is what God wants for me, if this is God's plan for my life, I'm going to go someplace where God can't talk to me, where God can't instruct me, where God isn't going to want to use me. I'm just getting away from this God thing altogether. And you know what? People do that every single day. They run from God. That's not a wise thing to do, is it? To run from God. There's only one source for hope, and that source is God. There's only one source for righteousness, and that source is God. There's only one source for blessing, for happiness and fulfillment in life, and that source is God. People, we don't want to run from God. Even though he asks us to do some hard things, we don't want to run from God. It was interesting to me, and I was just thinking about it. This is kind of off the subject a little bit. But here's Jonah, and he used God's provision to disobey God. You know, he had to get the money to buy that ticket from somewhere. And God was his source, I know that. I bet he knew that too. And I wonder if we don't do that sometimes too. We take what God has given us for his own good purpose and we use it to disobey him. Well, that's what Jonah did. But this is the thing I really want you to see this morning. Jonah was running from his own purpose. Jonah was running from his own purpose. God called Jonah to be an evangelist. God called Jonah to be an ambassador. Do you know that you are called to be an ambassador for Christ? You don't do that in the church. You're not an evangelist in the church. We've come here this morning to worship God because we're believers. We don't need an evangelist. We don't need an ambassador. We're all citizens in the same nation. We all serve the same king, don't we? We don't need an ambassador. You got to go out into the world as an ambassador. You got to go to the unbeliever, to the sinner as an evangelist. That's what Jonah was called to do. Jonah was called to be a prophet of God, to speak the word of God to these people. That was his purpose. That was the reason he was born. It's an awful thing to miss your purpose, to fail in the purpose for which you were created. But that's what Jonah was trying to do. See, the good news is he didn't succeed, because God is still God. That's good news. God is still God. And even when we run, we can't run far enough or fast enough to get away from the Spirit of God. Some author, I can't remember who it was now, called the Holy Spirit the Hound of Heaven. And when you run, the Holy Spirit is right there nipping at your heels, chasing you down and not letting you get away. That's the truth of the matter. And that's what we're going to see in the life of Jonah. I'm going to close with Psalm 139. I'm going to read you verse 7 through 10 from Psalm 139. This is what the psalmist says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You think Tarshish would be far enough? Might have been. Jonah didn't make it to Tarshish. I don't know how far he got. Probably not very far. But it wouldn't have been far enough if he'd have gotten there, would it? If he'd have kept going, ended up in Boston Harbor, still wouldn't have been far enough to get away from God, would it? Wonder if he could get to the moon. You think that would be far enough to get away from God? To run away from the Spirit of God? I think not. In fact, it says, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Jonah found that truth, didn't he? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, if I move to Cleveland, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. See, the most affirming truth that we have in the Scripture is that God's call is irrevocable. God doesn't change His mind. God has called each one of us by name. God has given each one of us purpose for His life. That is not just material purpose or some kind of temporal purpose. God has given us an eternal purpose for our life. And God doesn't forget. He's committed to bringing that to fruition. No matter where we go, the Spirit of God is there. And His hand holds us fast. Can you say amen to that? That's truth. God, we just come to You this morning and we thank You, Lord, that You are there. You are the God who is there. You are the God who sees and knows and hears. You are our God. Lord, it is You who has made us. We have not made ourselves. And it's You that gives us purpose. It's You that has called us to be Your spokesman in this world. Lord, sometimes we confess we're more like Jonah than we want to be. Sometimes, Lord, we turn our back. We turn a deaf ear to Your call. Sometimes, Lord, we even run away. But we know the truth of the matter is that Your calling is Your calling. And Lord, we are the sheep of Your pasture. We thank You, Lord, that even in those times, You do not let us go. Lord, Your right hand holds us fast. And Lord, You forgive us our straying ways. You put us back on the path that You prepared for us. And You cause us to bear fruit. Lord, we just yield ourselves to You this morning. We ask you, Lord, to do that work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.